This is Food Talk for Health, because you really are what you eat. Here's your host, Tonia King.
Joining me today is Dr. Ajay Goyal, the Director of Epigenetics, Cancer Prevention, and Cancer Genomics at Baylor University Medical Center in Dallas, Texas. Thank you for joining me, Dr. Goyal.
Thanks for having me.
I found what you're involved with very interesting when it came across my desk, because it seems that one of the big things that you're researching is curcumin.
That's correct, yes, curcumin.
And that is the main ingredient in turmeric. Right?
That's correct. So turmeric is a spice which is used for cooking, mostly in Southeast Asia, primarily India. And a very small fraction of turmeric, if you ground up turmeric root, about anywhere between 2 to 4% of that powder would contain the active medicine we call now as curcumin. So depending upon what part of the world turmeric is grown, depending on the soil and growing conditions, the amount could vary anywhere between 2 to 4%, which means the medicinal component within the spice is super small.
You know, it's amazing because for many, many years it has had such well-known health effects, correct?
That's right. I mean, it's been studied. It's, to the best of my knowledge, it is probably one of the most interrogated natural medicines ever. So if you look up PubMed, which is a search engine by the National Institutes of Health, NIH, so that's where you find all the scientific studies published on anything virtually. And if you look up that search engine, there are more than 9,000 studies published on curcumin, which is amazing because there's nothing I know of, any natural compound, any pharmaceutical compound for which we have that large a body of scientific evidence out there.
I'm curious how you discovered its benefits in your cancer research compared to other things that benefit cancer.
So that's a very interesting question. So, you know, I'm originally from India. I got my doctorate training from there, and at some point I was looking for what I'm going to do next with my life, and I wanted to see what would be the topics which would interest me, and began to look at, I was always interested in cancer somehow, but I don't know what I should be studying within the context of cancer. So began to look at cancer incidence and death globally. So it was very amazing and quite intriguing to me when I look at, and these numbers are put out by various government agencies, including CDC. Each year they tally up all the numbers of different cancer-related incidences and deaths all over the globe. And what was intriguing to me was when I look up countries such as U.S. or most of the Western countries, the overall cancer burden was extremely high. But when I look at countries such as Africa, and India, overall cancer incidence is one of the lowest in the world. So that was quite puzzling because coming from India, you know, people still, education is a problem, poverty is still a problem, you know, it's not one of the most developed nations, people can't afford a good meal and so forth. So they have their own set of challenges. In contrast, when we look at U.S., everybody looks up to U.S. as an example of perfect world in a way. So we have the best minds here, we have the best technologies and all of that. And in spite of all of that, everything going good for us here in U.S., we have one of the highest disease burdens of any kind, and especially when it comes to cancer. So that's what triggered my interest to say, why are we genetically that different, people living in U.S. versus those in India? We might look a little different, but as Homo sapiens or humans, we are, you know, 99.9999% similar. So it's not the genes, it's not the genetics, it is something else. And what could be something else? It is simply diets or your lifestyle, the things we do in different parts of the world versus others. And one thing which stood out, why are Indian people who can't even afford a good meal, what is so common, what is so staple, what is so common in everyday diet which stands out? And if you look at any Indian meal, every Indian meal is yellow in color. And that yellow color comes from turmeric. So not to simplify it enough to say that all this disease protection is because of turmeric, but that triggered my interest that at least that's one thing. And if you look at the literature, two of the oldest systems of medicine are Chinese traditional systems of medicine and Indian Ayurvedic system of medicine. And this is one botanical, this is one herb which has been studied, which has been known for centuries, that it is a very potent anti-inflammatory, it is a very potent antioxidant, antimicrobial, you name it. And that was a trigger I began to study curcumin.
And I was just going to bring that up about the anti-inflammatory, because that's another thing that I've discovered in my reading on it. Tell us how an anti-inflammatory helps our bodies.
Yes. So I think that's a very, very important question. It's a very fundamental question, and I think a lot of people have a hard time sort of understanding it. So when it comes to inflammation, there are two kinds of inflammation we talk about. You know, there's acute inflammation, which is you know, we fall down or we have some sort of accident, we have a sore body part or whatever. So that's acute inflammation, which is not really troublesome, because you can take any kind of medicine. You can take even curcumin, or you can take non-steroidal, you know, the class of drugs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs such as Aleve and ibuprofen and so forth. And you take it for a couple of days and you feel better and it's all nice and dandy. But then there is another class of inflammation which we refer to as chronic inflammation. So the difference between acute and chronic inflammation is acute inflammation shows symptoms which we can address and resolve. But chronic inflammation goes on at a very low level in our body, and it is completely asymptomatic. So there are no symptoms. Right now we are talking, we are eating, we are doing whatever. So there could be low levels of chronic inflammation going on in our bodies, and now there's tons and tons of evidence that if this low level of chronic inflammation persists for long periods of time, it puts it at risk for a variety of chronic diseases, including cancer, diabetes, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and you would see that we have almost an epidemic of all of these diseases here in the U.S. and many other parts of the world. So controlling chronic inflammation is the key to control a lot of these chronic illnesses, and that's where these dietary compounds such as curcumin and other things come into place, because people eating these kinds of diets, like people in India, I gave you an example that they have an overall lower incidence of cancer, they have an overall lower incidence of Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, you name it. So I think some of this protection is afforded because when you're eating diets rich in such herbs and spices, it controls these levels of chronic inflammation in your bodies, which eventually protects you from a lot of disease.
So, you know, it really does ring true when you say you are what you eat. I mean, if you really do pay attention to your diet, it really can make a big factor in your health. And when you're dealing with inflammation, like you said, a lot of us don't even have any idea if we have inflammation inside.
Exactly. So I think that's the challenge. That's part of the problem, that we can only fix what we know or what we are aware of. So since chronic inflammation really doesn't have any symptoms, and this inflammation is triggered by a variety of factors, you know, we are eating, you know, high-carb diets, we are eating high-fat diets, we are eating red meat, we are not exercising, we are exposed to some other chemicals when we eat or breathe or anything. So any of these triggers, stress, for example, or many other things can trigger this chronic inflammation, which goes on at such low levels that really there are no symptoms, so we don't worry about it. But that's a persistent cycle. We continue to consume same kinds of diets. We maintain similar sort of lifestyles. And when we do that for long periods of time, for years and years, for decades, that is essentially puts it at risk for getting all these diseases. And being more proactive, being aware of it, if we can change our diets, if we do all the right things, like, you know, we always know, exercise, eat your fruits and veggies and all that. So these things were not just sayings. They had meaning behind it. So what that means is we should stay away from processed foods. We should exercise. We should do all the right things as possible, because none of these diseases, especially when it comes to chronic diseases, they don't brew. They don't manifest overnight. It takes decades of that sort of lifestyle. And if we can begin to become aware of it and begin to change our diets and lifestyles now, we can probably prevent a lot of disease. Turmeric is the spice which we use for cooking, which is good. We should use it as much as we can, but we also know diets are very hard to change. So you may enjoy eating turmeric-laden food, but if you're not doing it on a regular basis and you're not eating enough of it, there's no point, especially in the Western culture where turmeric is not part of your diet. So I think it is almost impractical, impossible to think that people will change their diets to include turmeric on a daily basis. So I think in those cases, taking a curcumin supplement makes more sense, because you're not eating enough turmeric to get any therapeutic value from eating turmeric. So it's better to take a curcumin pill, so which you can find anywhere in a health food store. It is probably one of the most prominent, most selling supplements for last several years in the U.S. And so, but the challenge is when you go to the store, you have to be aware of what you're trying to buy. Are you trying to buy curcumin or turmeric? So the answer would be, if you're really looking for supplement, you should be looking for a curcumin supplement, not turmeric supplement. That's one. Number two, one of the challenges with curcumin is it is poorly absorbed by our bodies. So what that means is once we ingest it, most of it gets metabolized, comes out of the body pretty fast. So there are many different approaches different companies have used to enhance its absorption so that we can absorb more of it in our bloodstream. And there are many different types of curcumin available in the market. So my recommendation would be to take the highest quality supplement, which is better absorbed, which is better, which has a longer half-life in the body, and also it has full spectrum of curcuminoids. So curcuminoids is a family of actives which is present in turmeric. So that's very important. High-quality supplement, better absorption, full-spectrum curcuminoids, that's what I would recommend.
It is such a pleasure to chat with you. I'm talking with Dr. Ajay Goyal, the Director of Epigenetics, Cancer Prevention, and Cancer Genomics at Baylor University Medical Center in Dallas, Texas. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy day. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure was all mine. Thank you so much for having me on your show. Thank you.
I'm Tonia King, and you're listening to Food Talk for Health on Radio Daddy-O.